Candida as a psychological play. Such plays are often styled problem plays. Some use the expression in a slightly derogatory sense, implying that such plays are inferior. So far from resenting the term, actually reveled in the use of it, for he equated the problem play with the serious play, which is too differentiated from the other type of play, the frivolous drama. Candida is entitled to the title problem play, as we do get a very important problem in the play, that of the internal triangle. But here the problem is not as much of social or political import as that in Mrs. Warren's profession or the apple cart. Hence the play may be called psychological play, for the most important interest is that of the interplay of character on characters. When the play begins, we are left into the domestic felicity of the Morals. James Morals feels that his love for Candida is as great as hers for him, and that his domestic happiness is complete. This is manifest in his word to his curate Lexi. Eh, my boy, get married to a good woman, and then you will understand. That's for a state of that will be best in the kingdom of heaven we trying to establish on earth, that will cure you dwindling. As honest man feels that that he must play have heaven for every hour of happiness with a good spell of hard unselfish work to make others happy. We have no more right to consume happiness without producing it than to consume wealth without producing it. Get a wife like my Candida, and you will always be in error with your replacement. This saw wants us to realize is a pleasant illusion with a subtle art. The playwright makes us witness the shaking of the foundation of Morals' domestic happiness with the announcement of Marchbanks that he loves Candida. It is as if a bomb is dropped on his comfortable world. Though Morel is at first patronizing and indulgent towards the young poet, he soon learns that he is grappling with a mighty adversary and is filled with a mighty adversary and is filled with a vague sense of terror as he recognizes the strength of the poet as something totally different from his. He starts his discussion with Marchbanks on a tone of assurance and self-complacency. Remember, he tells the younger, we are friends, the need not fear that either of us will be anything but patient and kind to the other. Whatever we may have to say to this, Marchbanks has this to say: don't look at me in that self-complacent way. You'll think yourself stronger than I am, but I shall stagger you. Have a heart in your breast. Then follows a very interesting display of the effect of character on character. The slow but sure way in which Marchbanks destroys the self-confidence of Morel is something which can be compared with the most interesting and psychological scene in my literature. All the eloquence of Morel fails before using short but effective thrust like this. I imagine King David in his fits of enthusiasm was very like you, stabbing him with the words. But his wife despised him in her heart. No wonder Morel groans in despair. Marchbanks, some devil is putting these words into your mouth. It is easy, terribly easy to shake man's faith in himself, to take advantage of that, to break a man's spirit is devil's work. Take care of what you are doing. Take care. The new seed of suspicion that is planted in the heart of Morel by Marchbanks grows, and he is filled with unbearable suspense. Even his faith in Candida's love for him disappears. It is in her purity, her goodness that he places his thirst. Candida, thoroughly disheartened by this, replies, "Oh, James, how little you understand me. To talk of your confidence in my goodness and purity, I would give them both to poor Eugene as willingly as I would give my soul to a beggar dying of cold. If there were nothing else to restrain me, put your trust in my love for you, James, for it that went, I should care where little for your sermons were phrases that you cheat yourself and others with every day. In fact, his Christian socialism is another subject on which moral needs to be disillusioned, carried away by the splendor of his ideals and also of the eloquence. Moral is blind to the truth, but both Candida and Marchbanks can see through things. Candida, with a woman inside, understand that all the women who throng to morals lectures come not because they are interested in socialism, but because they all have prosy complaint to the astounded moral. Candida explains that prosy, his secretary, is really in love with him. This obstructiveness of moral makes him singularly fit for the role in this particular play. However, it is towards the end of the play, during the discussion scene, that moral is completely disillusioned, just as his notion of his marital bliss has been proved a myth. So also his sense of his own strength is proved false to Candida's question in the famous auction scene. What do you bid, James? Moral replies with characteristic swagger. I have nothing to offer you but my strength for your defense, my honesty for your surely, my ability and industry for your livelihood, and my authority and position for your dignity. That is all it becomes a man to offer to a woman. All his confidence explodes like a bubble when Candida explains that he is really weaker than Eugene. The poet C. points out how she has been James' mother and three sisters and wife and a mother to his children all in one. When there is a money to give, he gives it. When there is a money to refuse, I refuse it. I build a castle of comfort and indulgence and love for him and stand centennial always to keep little vulgar cares out. I make him hear, though he does not know it, and could not tell you, a moment ago how it come to be so. With disillusionment comes humility to moral. He accepts himself as weak and childishly dependent. It's all true, every word. What I am, you have made me with the labor of your hands and the love of your heart. You are my wife, my mother, my sisters. You are the sum of all loving care of me. The psychological process that saw was laboring to so is now complete. In the case of Eugene Marchbanks, the process is quite different. It is the birth of a soul that we find in the case of the poet. When the play begins, we are told of all the weaknesses of Marchbanks, his inability to cope with so common and everyday an occurrence as paying the taxi fare, his dread of strangers and his hopeless timidity and shyness. But his combat with moral reveals by degrees his terrible restraint, which is far greater of the two souls. But it is the discussion scene that makes the poet grow in nature and realize his own strength. He too has been forced to shed some of his illusion. He has learned, for instance, that for him happiness does not lie in such domestic chores as filling the lamp with paraffin oil and peeling potatoes and onions. He has also had a glimpse of Shaw's vital philosophy that happiness is not the goal of life. I no longer desire happiness. Life is nobler than that. Parson James, I give you my happiness with both hands. He has reached such a degree of self-confidence and assurance that the idea of being younger no longer worries him. To Candida's teasing question, how old are you, Eugene? He replies, as old as the world now. This morning I was 18. Then again, in 100 years, we shall be the same age. But I have a better secret than that in my heart. Let me go now. The mite outside grows impatient. This metamorphosis in the poet is one of the most interesting thing about the play. It is also the most dramatic element. Candida, however, does not change. She plays the part of a catalyst, effecting tremendous changes in others while she herself remains unchanged. It is through her that both the men who fight for her love arrive at an awareness of their respective strength and weakness. Candida herself is not subtle for mysterious. She is the typical representative of the Savian women, abundantly endowed with common sense and resoluteness. She is quite unlike Ibsen's emotional women, of whom Nora Helmer may be taken as the best example. Candida's obvious realism in the company of Marchbanks is also psychologically interesting. Between her and the poet is an understanding that is deep, an understanding that can never be between Morel and Candida. But Candida is not to be thought of as one of those amorous heroines in the play. In the plays dealing with the eternal triangle, being a child of Sa, she is eminently capable of keeping her relationship with the poet purely platonic. But just as Anne Whitley's character has been much resented by many women, Candida has also given rise to much adverse criticism. For instance, Beatrice Webb called Candida a sentimental prostitute. But to Shah, she was so much an embodiment of all that he prized in a woman that he wrote to L.M. Terry, strictly between us, she, Miss Candida, is none other Virgin Mary herself. The play Candida thus occupies a high place in the theatrical repertoire of plays where the psychological interest is dominant. For a convincing evolution of character, the play is to be ranked with the best plays in the language. Thank you.